I think you can see you've got a new eldership. Amen. But oh Lord, that I were 20 again. You know, if you don't know what we've been through, and if you did know, you would understand it's by the grace of God we're up here to do anything tonight. We had such sore muscles. I'd see Mike Saban walking along like this. And I'd walk over. Get some tongs, Mike, please. And I'd walk over to him like this. I'd say, "Hi, Mike. I have a cup of tea with you if you help me lift the bag in the cup." You know, we were really sore and stiff. And I feel like tonight my legs are so stiff. I want to fly, but they won't. They're just too tight. And I said one day up there near the end, I said, I wanted so bad. God has done something to me. Something has happened so thrilling and so marvelous. I'm going to tell you about so marvelous. And I wanted to be out there all the time. And I was in a state of mixed ecstasy and agony. And I mean great ecstasy, and I mean great agony. And I really truly mean that, and that's no hyperbole. And I wanted to be out there so badly, all the time. And I knew I had to save, I couldn't get these muscles totally crippled. And so I finally said, "Well, I'll go out there and just barely move. And worship the Lord and just barely move, and maybe kind of even walk the muscles out a little bit." And pretty soon, you know, the Spirit of the Lord was just on me. I began to speed up and speed up. And I told somebody, I said, "I feel like I'm on a high-speed taxi test." You know, where they take these new planes, and they're not allowed to take off yet, but they rack them through. They really rake them over the coals on the ground. Full speed, full brake, full turns and everything. And it's a high-speed taxi. Everything but takeoff. And I felt like I was just pushing, but I couldn't take off. And the agony was so intense because I have never felt such a drawing. Let me back up just a little bit. Monday night, the elders were there. Intercessors weren't coming to Tuesday afternoon. And we came into that place. And all of a sudden there was a just beginning. It was kind of a quiet, intense, crying out. And songs in other tongues, it began to merge as a cacophony and begin to build and begin to build. And the Lord began to move, and it wasn't very long, and Paul and Molly were singing, leading songs in the Spirit. And later on, wasn't very much longer, and I looked down, and on the whole lower level of that place at the lake retreat was filled with the elders, with men, all dancing before the Lord. And the ladies all up on the platform. And I had never seen a sight quite like that with everybody involved. And I said to myself, I said to my next boss, "I've never been to a dance before. I never attended a dance in all my life." And the atmosphere was, well, you know, it was different, but the Spirit of the Lord was there. And God was setting people free. I mean, God was setting people free. Well, a lot of wonderful things happen. I won't say too much. I want to give others a chance to testify. But I'll tell my part, part of my part. On Wednesday night, I was lying on the floor, and a number of people were ministering to me in song, and they were singing that song, "Angels Don't Dare to Even Whisper Over There. When God the Father speaks, they fold the wings and hide their eyes." And if you remember, that's the only stanza out of dozens and dozens of my saying when I was wrapped away in that other realm. And they began to sing that song and minister to me, and I wasn't sure what was happening, if anything, when they were singing. I didn't feel anything special. I felt nothing special. I felt the presence of the Lord, but I mean, I didn't feel anything unusual. I do feel the presence of the Lord all the time. But when I got up, something was different. When I got up, I began to dance across that floor. And I confess that tonight, My muscles were a lot stiffer. I was a little bit more nervous tonight in front of you. But there was nobody there but us. And I was just loving Jesus. I was just loving Jesus. And the thrill I can experience, you can never, never understand from the outside. Never. And you see what happened is my spirit, as yours too, longs for a more adequate expression of itself in its love to Jesus. And we have some expression in praying in English, in praying in other tongues, in singing in English, in singing with other tongues, and in clapping our hands and tapping our feet and movement of the body and with the vocal cords and so forth. We have some expression, and through musical instruments. The Spirit has a measure of release and ability to articulate itself to some degree through these various instruments that God has given us. But I found another vehicle in which I was more ably apt to express the Spirit to God, the Eternal Spirit, than I ever had before. And oh, how thrilling it is. I told somebody, I said, this is the most spiritual fun I have ever had in all my life. And I don't mean just fun, I mean spiritual enjoyment. I mean thrill. I mean real thrill. Now you see, I'm not a dancer. I've never danced in my life. You know, one time I danced out of the happiness of the elders retreat about 5 years ago. But, I mean, I've never danced in my lifetime. I've never thought about it, know anything about it. Dancing never meant anything to me. In fact, I grew up with a Pentecostal disdain for it, excepting for that in the church. We didn't see a lot of it in the church in Pentecost. We saw some of it. In old Pentecost, they didn't move unless God hit them with a lightning bolt, and they knew it was God. And then they moved, and then they knew it was God. And, of course, the plus is, it avoided the errors. It was God when they moved. But the minus was, it was few and far between. But, and you see, I had a feel. I felt many times when I was down here, I just felt like a racehorse at the gate. And then they rang the bell, opened the gate, and the horses charged on the track, and I just stood right there, see, right there. And the race was over, and I was still right there, going like this. And one time I felt, well, two, three times, I felt like I wanted to go out and just kind of whirl like this. And I wasn't sure why, but I just wanted to start out whirling. But after that, and what would happen, I hadn't the slightest idea, and there's a fear of, what am I going to do when I get out there? I had nothing preconceived. I don't know anything about dancing. I never thought about it. I never watched it. And, you know, the other thing was holding me back. But the Spirit of the Lord took the rock away from the cistern and let the fountains begin to gush out. And I found that my spirit man my soul gave way to all its fears and all its inhibitions to the crying of the Spirit. And I gave it over to the Spirit and let the Spirit control the body. Now, when you go out on the dance floor, if you are the world and you're that bent, you, the soul, manifest through that body. And you have a certain soulical enjoyment and a soulical thrill, or whatever that is, a soulical pleasure. But I was experiencing a spiritual pleasure because I didn't just go out and try to do something. With my convictions, my philosophy, my mentality, my attitude, my theology, my integrity, my lifestyle, the way I am, I would never do that. I would never get out and just do something. I could not and would not. And unless the Spirit was allowed to do what it wanted and me keep out of the way, never would I get out and do that. But when the Spirit is doing it and the soul backs off, then he's got nothing to say. The critical acumen isn't there to judge the thing. This is why God has given us speaking in other tongues, to bypass the soulical mind that would judge the thing and be afraid because it's different than what your pattern is. And I confess that the movements that I make, I haven't got the slightest idea in the soulical mind how it relates to the way I feel in the spirit. I cannot compute how this, you know, equals this. But my spirit feels it, and my spirit is satisfied. That's what the spirit wants to do. In fact, I know that I have a dancing angel. In fact, before I went out, I felt this loosed. I felt the spirit pull, and I said, "Lord, give me a dancing angel, because here I go." And that's what I said, and I meant it. I mean, it was one of these things you say. This is no joke. See, this is one of these things you say when you jump out of the boat and say, "Lord, that water better hold me up, because here I go." See, and that's what I did. I just said, "Here I go, Lord," and I abandoned it. And my muscles were relaxed, and I was free, and I did. You know, I was really able to dance much more freely than tonight. I was ready to dance, and all the pleasure of the spirit. All night, and all the next day, I was in ecstasy. I was around telling everybody all the time. And we would go late at night, you know, and the sun would go over and over, we'd be clapping, and I'd be just like this all the time. I mean, I just couldn't stand still. This thing was in me. I wanted to go all the time. And I couldn't wait, you know, I was just telling everybody here and telling that person and telling this person. I mean, I was just like this the whole time. I was excited. I mean, I became an ardent advocate, enthusiast of dancing in the spirit, but not just solical. I haven't got any use. I have no use for solical dancing. Just dancing for fun of the soul and the flesh, I disdain. But the thrill in the spirit. And you know, I said, while we were up there, I said, you know, I know that some of these people that are dancing down here during the service, and particularly before and after service, I know some of them are not really letting the spirit express itself. Some of them, I don't know how many, but some. But I said, but, and then there's so many I can mention, but I went to Marcia over here, who dances right over here. And she appears to me like she's really locked in and really worshiping, just really worshiping. I said, if she is allowing her spirit to dance and express itself before the Lord like I was up at the camp, I said the tenth has never been told. I had no idea. No wonder she wants to be down there all the time. No wonder. See, I was edified by her dancing. It was beautiful, graceful. I knew God was doing something within. I knew it was a spiritual thing. I felt good about it. But all the thrill. Now, I know some people, you know, you can get out there and you can dance. And if it's not the spirit, all you're doing is bouncing around. That's all you're doing. And the more relaxed you are, the more you're able to just praise the Lord. That's true in any kind of worship, isn't it? The more relaxed you are. And it's fearful sometimes to step out of first. In fact, I was attacked tonight by a spirit of nervousness. And in fact, I was attacked this morning. Coming down here, I began to feel apprehensive about being able to hear. And up at the retreat, I could just anytime. I was so relaxed. And then I came here, and I began to be a lot apprehensive. We got this hold of this tape. Jack Hicks brought it over, and I began to play that. And all my confidence returned. That angel was there, and there I was. I took another soak in the hot tub, still trying to help these legs that were so stiff. And I began to just, on the floor there, dance like this, you know. And all the confidence just came back. And then tonight I came downhill, and a spirit of nervousness just began to crowd on me. And I touched Donna Grefton, for example, and I know she really, you know, goes to prayer for you. And I said, spirit of nervousness attacking me. Would you just be praying for me while the others, you know, rebuking that thing? And it quieted down quite a bit, but there was a certain apprehension. We all have that, but as you begin to minister, that way when you're the first time you preach a sermon, you know, the first time you really go out and witness, the first time you do anything for the Lord. But we've had a thrilling time up there, and God has done a wonderful thing. And you see, the thing is, now my spirit has another avenue that it never had. To me, it is so thrilling. And, you know, the natural mind stumbles sometimes at spiritual things. I've had spiritual experiences that when I came down, my natural mind said, "My, that was strange." But every time during the spiritual experience, it was so normal and so natural. And anybody who's ever had real deep spiritual experiences know that that's always the truth. And so my mind says, "Well, how does this, you know, I don't understand it. Oh, I don't understand. I don't really want to critique it very much, because this is what the Spirit wants to do." And as a matter of fact, when I was up there was a power seized upon me. And I began to whirl with great whirlings, like I haven't heard tonight, just really whirling. And I could just see streaks. I have found that I keep my eyes closed. I don't like to open my eyes. I don't even like to peek a little bit. It breaks it for me. I close my eyes. And most people look a little bit, so I told the rest of them, "Since you're all looking, I'm not going to. So you watch out for me, because I'm not watching out for anybody." And that's what I did. And I said, you drive defensively, because I'm on the move. And I began going. And I don't like to open my eyes. I don't like to take pictures of anything. I just like to shut my eyes and just go. And the Spirit was just able to be fulfilled in such a wonderful way. I've longed. I've said, "Lord, how do I get to the next step? I wanted the next step." And the only thing I knew to do, I kept praying that the Lord would take me back to that spirit realm. What he never has. I prayed 11,444,265 times to date. And he maybe never will again. But like I said at the retreat, I said, "The Lord and I have an understanding. I'm asking for that, but he knows I'll settle for anything." And I feel like he's given me what I've been longing for, an avenue to express him. And in my home, and here's another thing. This may seem humorous, but with my schedule, I really had a terrible time cutting out these big blocks of time, carving them out and putting on them prayer in the mornings. I said, when I finally did it, I said, "I've got to do this, and I don't have the slightest idea what's going to happen to all the paperwork I get in every day like this, from all the staff and everything asking for answers and directives and this and that and the other thing, pulling in." I said, "I don't know what's going to happen to it, but finally, I've got to take this time." And I did not know what was going to happen. I took this time out. But I never was able to take more time for exercise. And as if I take time for exercise, plus this, it's used the entire morning, I can't get my work done in the afternoon. But now, don't you see, I have aerobic exercise, worship, loving Jesus, combined and saved me time right in my own bedroom. And I don't have to get... I was thinking when I was up there that I was going to get dressed, come down here to the chapel when nobody here, early in the morning. I've been waking up really early. And coming down here with nobody here. And with a tape recording. Turn it on and just dance before the Lord. But now I find right there in my bedroom, you know, I just, you know, come right out of the shower and dance before the Lord and go right back in and shower again, put my clothes on for the day, and I'm all done. It's going to save me time. And the Lord solved two problems at once. Plus, I have an avenue that's so glorious. So glorious. Now I want to tell you something. This spirit that seized a hold of me, I began going in just really wild circles, just spinning and spinning and spinning. And pretty soon, my rational mind cut in. You know, God has given us critical apparatus to protect us. It tells us when you start doing something foolish. You know, you're going 120 miles an hour on the curve and up the highways, and you say, you know, somebody could be coming around that curve, you know. You never know what's going to happen, and there might be a big truck just around the curve, and your critical apparatus is always warning you, and it's a good thing we've got that critical apparatus. And if you put liquor in you, you see you dull that, and then you make mistakes. Well, my critical apparatus is going. The critical apparatus is not geared to spiritual things, and sometimes it doesn't know what it's talking about, and so sometimes it tries to interfere, you know, trying to save you. But here I was going, and personally it was saying, you know, you are whirling. You're going to get dizzy. You know, you're going to just crash into the floor here, you know. Quit it. And I tried to stop, and it was I was a perpetual motion machine. Sorry, Mike, about that, but we were just going around and around. And my physics major, and they said it wasn't sending perpetual motion. But anyway, I was going around and around, and it was so hard to stop. And I finally forced it. I stormed the motor apparatus of the lower brain with all the signal power I could from the brain and told it what to do. And reluctantly, the thing slowly began to move something different. And I had trouble keeping my coordination even because it was wanting to get back. And as soon as I relaxed a little bit, I was right there again. I felt like I was in a whirlpool, just pulled me right back into it again. And I was kind of blocking without that singing, I mean, without that dancing angel, I think. And you see, this can't be the devil, because when you ask for a dancing angel, he's not going to give you a roaring lion or a rhinoceros or something else. And it made me love Jesus all the more. It put a love, it put a joy, it put an ecstasy. So it has to be the Lord's work. But you can't measure it by looking on the outside. You cannot. I said, I don't know how we're going to go back and really express this, because looking on the outside doesn't really tell you what's happening on the inside. In fact, you can be just kind of like this, doing nothing else, and you can just feel the presence of the Lord come down if you're in the right place. In fact, I find out all evening long, when I decided I better not move too much more, and I was standing there just kind of like this, all night long, I was just in ecstasy. And then the next day, Thursday morning, I went home, got in my hot pool at night, instead of slept up there, where I had a room. It was a painful place up there, just to get the extra therapy. And I got up in the morning, got in the hot pool again, charged up there, and felt fine. Came in that morning, and I began to bring some perspectives that people said they really appreciated, but I didn't feel that same thing. And the devil attacked me. I felt a damp on me. I didn't feel that same kind of just buoyancy all the time. I thought, boy, I can never lose this. I've got to keep this. And I didn't feel this. And I was troubled. And I laid on the floor being a pray for me. And that didn't help. And they started a couple songs. And that wasn't kind of right one. That didn't help. And I told them to start this one again. And they started. And I began feeling it come back a little bit. But just a little bit. And I finally said, well, I'm going to get up. And although I said, I don't dare do any more dancing here because my legs, until I get them. I said, maybe if I begin to express my spirit, it'll come back. And I began to do that, and it all just came back. And I was in ecstasy all the day again. Praise the name of the Lord. Wonderful things have been happening to this kid right here. I'm thrilled. You can think what you want. And see, Russ McKinney was up there. He quoted an old Pentecostal pioneer. And some of the old holiness people were saying, well, this isn't... See, the Pentecostals were kept quoting Joel. This is that spoken of by the prophet Joel. It should come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and so forth and so on. And they were saying, this isn't that. And so one of the old Pentecostal pioneers said, well, if this isn't that, I'll keep this until we get that. And so we were up there dancing, and Russ came over to me, and he says, Don, he says, if this isn't that, he said, I'm going to keep this until we get that. And I said, well, but if this is that, anyway, then I'm going to keep that, this, that, this, that, and you can take one, I'll take the other, because if this isn't that, brother, I'm going to keep this until we get that, because this is better than what I had. So we've got to open up. See, you can't give things by what you've seen in the past. In fact, I'm going to try to shut up after saying this one more thing. I really, really mean this. I'm going to amplify it some other time. I'm just going to say it quickly now. I said, I don't think the congregation in general really understood in the depth that I meant it when I said, if you don't keep moving with us, you will get so far behind, you will not be able to relate to the next thing God is doing. Now, hear me out for just a couple minutes. One person was saying, well, I'm going to wait for this deliverance is over. When it blows over, well, then, you know. But when it blows over, then comes dancing in the spirit. Now, they have to wait till that blows over. Then something else comes and wait till that blows over. And you see, but it's not going to blow over and go back. We're not going back. We're going on. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to maybe preempting something I'm going to be saying later, stealing my thunder. And that's this. We are going to go from bondage to liberty, and glory to glory to glory. And we are going to be changed, so we are so far different than the normal church that we will seem horribly cultish. In fact, one of the doctors of theology that was rebutting me on the air made the statement that, well, if you give up all tradition and just follow the Bible, you get awfully cultish. You know what he meant? Awfully unnormal, Toots-like. In other words, you're no longer subnormal. And we are going to change, so we're going to be absolutely fanatics in the eyes of the world. And that's the truth. And you see, unless you experience these things, you can't really understand them. Not in the measure that they're really... Not in the measure. You can accept them for a bit. But we're going to have to move with these things because God is going to make us like Him so free. See, you know, Jesus was misunderstood. He was different than everybody else. And they attacked Him because of it. But although we're going to be rejected, yet out there there's going to be connections. Just like this. And that big visible church out there is going to be paining. The bigger we get inside of the visible church, the more it's going to pain. And the more we get alive energy, the more we're going to kick in there. And it's going to be feeling this kick and be paining to be delivered, and it's going to finally push us out. It won't be able to stand us in this midst. And we're going to all collect by the Spirit, and God's going to do something. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to turn the rest of this service over to all of those that were at the elders' retreat. I want them to be able just to take the liberty to interrupt one another if they need to and use my hand mic there, make inserts and add to and just be able to express what God has done for them. I particularly want to give priority to you satellite pastors and elders. Hi, Mike. You satellite pastors and elders who... have to leave after tonight. Somebody's going to be here Sunday, so you've got a bit more time, but if you go back without testifying and you have a testimony, it's your fault because you need to racehorse right uphill and take it whenever you can. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Years ago, I made a terrible mistake. I was in a church where they were dancing. And I was unimpressed. It was flesh. And I said at that time, Lord, I will never do that. And then some years later, we were still over in the old chapel, and we were singing in the Spirit. We didn't do too much of it at that time, but we were singing a song in the Spirit, and it had kind of an Eastern flavor. The pictures I had going along with the song were of the Israeli army, arm in arm, dancing around a bonfire, you know, just before they went out to whip somebody. I remember at that time I was moved. I was moved by that song. And I told the Lord then, Lord, I know now there'll come a day when I'll dance around that bonfire before and after the battle. I know it'll happen. I know it'll happen. I had a terrible experience as a youth with dancing. My parents danced, but I only remember seeing them one time. I was very little, and it was at the Puyallup Fair, and my brother and I were on the sidelines while they were out there dancing, and we cried all the time, spoiled the evening for them, but I'd never seen them do that before, and it was strange to me. I didn't like it. But then when I was in, my first year in high school, I noticed that the ball players were always playing ball, and the guys that could dance were out dancing with the girls and talking to the girls all the time, so I decided that I'd learn to dance, and I was working at the time, and I signed up for dancing lessons, and I went to this studio where this chap was training people to dance. I was about 15 years old, and everyone else in there was 8 or 9. And there was no music connected with this thing. He had a couple of sticks, and he was banging them together in rhythm, and we were supposed to dance. And after a very few minutes of that, I was just so embarrassed that I departed the fix, and I said, never, never, never will I do that. Some little 8-year-old girl, you know, she's about up to my belt buckle. I'm trying to... Oh, man. Really gross. So I decided to learn how to... I decided then I'd learn how to pivot on the double play and you could have all that. But then one time after my wife and I had been in the Marine Corps a long time, I came back from overseas. I was in no position to say no to anything at the time. And she was a very good dancer. Very good. And she pleaded with me to go and take some lessons. Actually, the lady was a friend of ours who was giving lessons at the officers' club, and I resisted as long as I could and finally went down there. And we had a lot of fun, but I really never did care for it much. And so I have to admit there was some concern in my heart, although recently my wife and I have danced before the Lord with tapes at home, you know, and it was... satisfying to me, but it certainly wasn't of the quality we see down here. But on that Monday evening, when we were all together up there, and the men began to gather, and Mike Sabrin went sailing by me out onto that floor, and all the other men began to gather from all, and you know, there was no way I could stay out of that thing. My brothers were coming together, and I just could not forbear to be out there among them. It was a thing that it drew me, and of course went on from there. And I remember it was the same kind of a thing. As I began to move my body and my feet and my hands in that way, in that rhythmic way before the Lord, the same thing happened to me that happened once before. It was a spiritual experience, and it was it was pretty small potatoes by today's standards. But the church I grew up in sang a lot about praising the Lord, and we talked a lot about praising the Lord, but nobody ever did it. And I was in a class at the University of Puget Sound one time where it was a class in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. That's part of another testimony. But in one of those sessions, a couple of local pastors from here in Seattle said they were going to teach us in the class how to praise the Lord. I thought, oh, wow, you know, this. And so he says, first of all, everybody stand up. So we all stood up, and everybody in there is about half my age or even less, you know. And so he said, now what you have to do is stand up and raise your hands up over your head. Well, you know, you'd be surprised what went through my mind at the time. I'd never done that. Nobody in my church had ever done that. But I looked around, and two things were going for me at the time. One of them was that all my training and experience said, whatever the man in charge says, do it. In spite of the embarrassment, in spite of anything else, and I, you know, glanced quickly around the room, and they were all these young people, you know, their hands were in the air, and I thought, well, I'm really going to be conspicuous if I don't do it. So those two things going for me, I raised my hands. And you know, when I did that, something happened. Something broke. Something crumbled. There was a traditional barrier that came down, and a beginning in my life was established. I wasn't Spirit-filled yet. I was well on the way, but I was not yet filled with the Holy Ghost. It was just a couple of days later when I was, but this was the same kind of thing up there at the retreat. When I began to move like that, something broke, something crumbled, something disappeared from my life, and I'm not the same. I'm not the same anymore. A little later, Mike came by me and he said, it makes you wish you weighed 100 pounds. And I said, well, Mike, if we keep this up, we soon will. But you may well ask, what's the purpose of all this? Why dancing in the Spirit? And why would a thing like that have such an impact on me? Why would something like that change my life? I think the reason for that is that as a race, humanity, especially here in America, we are inhibited, are we not? We suffer from inhibition. And inhibition is the child or the grandchild of a great big demon called pride. And that thing has to go. That pride has got to go. We cannot love each other if we're proud. We cannot do it. Not like God wants us to. We can't do it. So that has to go. The inhibitions have got to come down. This doesn't mean integrity has to disappear. We're not going to throw caution to the wind. We are not going to become fanatic. I guarantee that. I stand on solid ground when I say that. This fine fellow right down here will never permit that. And we have such an excellent foundation from him in the Word of God. We know what fanaticism is and what it isn't, and this is not fanaticism. But the whole point of this thing is get us to the place where we can love each other without the inhibition. And when this happens, I feel we have a lot to learn about the love of God, a lot to learn about loving each other. We're getting there. God is doing some things in me, and I feel love growing in me day by day. I felt love growing. One time up there, soon after we got started, Don said, well, now what we're going to do here this evening is you'd look around the room, and if God has made a connection between you and someone else here, why, just go over and begin to minister to him. So I looked around the room expecting the Lord to make some connections, you know, to know where I'd start. And I began to weep. As I looked at each person in that room, there was such an emotion of love in my breast. I wish they were all about an inch high so I could go and minister to the whole crowd and hold them in my hands. I loved them so much, so much. And so I just grabbed whoever was handy and ministered there first. But That, I think, is the direction that we're taking. I believe that's where we're headed. Now, there's great joy in that, I'm sure, but there's some risk involved. And I think we need to face this as a body of Christ and as individuals like we do other things that involve risk. As a matter of fact, I think that we should take some kind of a decision on how we feel about persecution, how we feel about being persecuted as a person. And I think we need to begin to analyze, how do you feel about standing in line a long time with nothing apparently happening? What happens inside when the light turns to green and the guy ahead of you doesn't move? How do you feel about inconvenience? How do you feel about pain? What does death mean to you? Now, without listening to the lies of the enemy, I think each one of us needs to come to terms with those things and just see how we feel about it. And the reason I say that is when we enter into love as God intends it, I think that we're going to be ridiculed and perhaps even persecuted for it, because I believe that our basic concept of love has a demonic foundation because of what the world has done to that. The most perfect sentence in the language is, I love you. It has everything, doesn't it, Christian? Everything. Everything. And there are people all over this globe who have no concept of it whatsoever. There are people in this room that have no concept of it whatsoever, but we're going to. We are going to love each other. And loving is giving, and giving without inhibition, without concern for the circumstances or the consequences. You just give yourself. And I suppose that we'll be labeled some kind of a sex cult someday, because we're going to have this expression of love one for another. But there will also be those out there, and it's almost universal, this hunger for love. People do all kinds of nutty things, really dangerous things, some of them, to get loved. But the book tells us what love is. That's where you find love, is in the book. And there's another purpose for this thing. And I heard it said one time after one of our earlier moves where God was blessing in a certain way. And a young fellow came to me and he says, you know, after I had that marvelous experience in the Lord, I am driven to the book. Driven to the book. That's where we need to go. That's where we'll find the basis for this move of God and all the others. That's where we'll find the comfort and the freedom. And everything we need, our foundation is sound. I don't think we need to have any concern anymore. I don't tend to. I'm just going to haul off and love people. And I'm not going to really be all that careful about it. Because I know that if I get out of line, somebody will let me know and I'll back off. But as I look around this room, there's an emotion that grows in me because I love you all so much. And when I say that, I've heard people say, I love you. Yes, I love you too. And they go by just as if they're saying, how are you, you know? And I used to do that, but anymore it grieves me. It hurts me. I don't like to hear that. I don't like to do that. I want to feel the attendant proper emotion with those words. And I do. I thought I'd been anointed to bawl up there at the retreat because I was crying lots, really lots. Because I felt such tenderness toward all of those people, especially my brothers. When we were out there on that floor dancing together, there was power in that place. Power in that place. I covet that experience and whatever else the Lord has for us.
I need to explain something I feel. I'm giving up, without any problem, I'm giving up my preaching tonight, Sunday school and Sunday morning, perhaps preaching Sunday morning, because I want to allow all these testimonies to be able to come forth, because you've got new eldership, and I want you to be able to see and hear what's happened, because we want this to happen in the entire body. And I have peeked in at a number of different retreats, but I have never seen one quite like this. Not like this. And the amount of involvement, this is a marvelous time. Mm-hmm. And so, what I'm saying is, because I am giving up these sermon times, I won't be preaching, we're taking all this time for this, but I am going to be weaving statements in, teaching all the way along. Because this is a training center. And these testimonies are not just for curiosity and fun. They are to build in you a hunger and a concept and understandings. And I feel as a pastor whose job is always, I'm always looking for pastoring, how to help, what needs to be said, how to protect, how to furnish the mind, how to undergird. And I need to be able to reinforce things, give proof for things, explain things along the way in order to make what is said more powerful, to reinforce it, to add more to it. And so understand when I'm doing this as a, in lieu of messages, I'm doing it because I feel I need to do it. And I'm going to make a couple right now. You see, all we have is our bodies for our spirit to express itself through. That's all we've got. And a spirit, see, even demon spirits, they long to find some body for expression. And our spirit needs a body to express in. And when we express, when we sing, you know, you can have a lot of spiritual joy in singing. But what's so great about all coming down, gathering, and they all just sing songs? But you see, something happens more than the fact of just words being said. If you get the concept that all these people come to church, sit in a pew, and sing words into the air, then all go home, it does indeed seem fruitless. But when you recognize that it's building up an eternal spirit, and it's breaking down demonic forces, and real things are happening, then testimonies and songs and preaching, things take on a whole new meaning. Yeah. Well, now, you know that people that express, when they're inhibited, and they express singing by just barely opening their mouths. You know, you've been there, probably. You've at least been around churches where they just barely sing, you know, like this. Because there's not really anything inside, really. There isn't much inside. And that's about all they got. You know, that's about all they can muster up. Or it's solical. Or if they've got something, but they'll hold it down because of inhibitions, they don't get the full freedom out of it. They don't get the full joy. There is nobody who will sing with the mouth one third open and get the joy that when you really come out with it. Well, by the same token, there's nobody who will clap just like this. You cannot get the same thing out of it as somebody who's really going. And this is true anything. It's true with anything. God has given us our bodies to express with. And this is why dancing has a legitimate part in the Christian life, is because it is a further expression of the spirit and the soul within. And so think it not strange that it's doing something. And as Jack said, there are demonic forces that make us so inhibited. And when you reach out, launch out to dance, for example, what happens? That demon of inhibition is thwarted. His power is broken. He is put feel, 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 feel. And as soon as you break out and you're going, the feel is just found to be cotton candy. You know, puff, smoke, nothing. Thin ill. His lie has been exposed by the truth, and he's lost his grip. And so when you're dancing and doing these things, you defeat those powers that are against you and begin to open up more freedom to articulate, because we're choked down. Now I make this statement. If we who are created by God for his praise and for his glory cannot use our bodies to express that praise to his glory, we certainly have no right to use these bodies for terrestrial, mundane sports activities and other excitements of the flesh. God never created us for excitement of the flesh, primarily, but primarily for excitement in the spirit, in relationship with him. So it is in no sense of the word fanatical to dance and whirl. That is not fanatical, because it's not going beyond God. God is in it. It would be much more reasonable, more logical, more biblical to say sports is fanatical. To use what God has created for him into some other way would be a deviation. It would be a deviate. It would be thwarting and changing the God-given purpose. And no one has a right to show emotion if Christians can't show it with their full bodies. This idea that you can never do anything new spiritually without being at the church, the dead church. See, we're coming out of a dead church. God's bringing it out. And if we can never do anything different than the dead church, dead, we'd stay dead. You can't come to life if you don't come out. And new things are different, all right, and they do seem strange, but being different doesn't make them fanatical. And if we don't open up to different things, we can't be changed from glory to glory into his image. He's taken us to some place we've never been before. And so there was a kind of a wrong idea of what fanaticism is. They think fanaticism is doing something unusual. That's not fanatical. Unusual is not a bit fanatical. In fact, normal Christianity always seems fanatical to subnormal Christians, you see. And I think that's all comments I'll make at this time.
I wanted to follow Jack DuBois' testimony because I wanted to let you know what a blessing it was to see this precious brother and his wife dance before the Lord. As they came out down before us, down in the platform area before the fireplace where there was a large area and lots of room to move. And as they came down together, and Lee, I told her yesterday, I said, the expression on your face is forever imprinted on my mind. As you just see the contentment and the satisfaction, the peace of God that radiated from her as she just moved there before the Lord, and as her husband was so free to just dance around her in a circle, it did something in my heart that I feel was an eternal work. It was such a blessing to see them just be free and minister their love before the Lord in that way. And another brother I wanted to share with you about was Jack Hicks. As I saw him dance before the Lord, I felt a healing in my heart. He's one of the brothers that I get concerned about because I recognize a little bit the responsibility in our corporation that rests upon his shoulders. But to see him just so at peace in God and to know that the Spirit of the Lord was communing with him and he looked as if he didn't have a single care in the world. It brought a healing to my heart. It made me feel like, oh, Jesus, thank you for doing that for Jack. Thank you for doing that for him, for just lifting those things from his shoulders for a time that he could just be free to commune with you. I felt so joined together with him in that thing as we just watched one another be free. See, there was such healing that was ministered to us by the Spirit of God. As we saw ourselves just being free, I felt like there was a part of me in every single one that was out there just ministering their love to the Lord. I felt so connected with every single one. And then as different ones would pray, lay hands and pray for deliverance or just minister love to other ones, I felt, oh, Jesus, thank you that they're praying for that one. Because, you know, as one individual, you can't get around to lay hands on every single person. Although you wished you could, you just can't do it. It just doesn't work. But, oh, when I would see other ones minister, and then as I'd see other ones dancing together, I just felt this huge amount of appreciation because I felt like they were carrying out that which was the desire of my heart, but I wasn't able to do. The Lord is bringing us together through this thing. I am so thankful. As I saw my pastor and his wife be so free, I was so thrilled. I could hardly stand to watch them. I was just thrilling to my heart. And I know that as we just stay open to this, like our pastor said, just open to it, that we will experience it also. And so guard against any critical thoughts that would come into your minds, because we know that the enemy would like to come in and thwart this thing. But as we all rally together, whether we fully understand it or not at this point in time, and that's not what the Lord has called us to do. He's not calling us to try to understand it. He's calling us to enter into his Spirit. And then you will experience it. Because remember, our enemies, They are far too strong for us. They've been too strong for us for so long. But he's not calling us to battle those things. He's calling us to abandon ourselves to him, to love him. And now he's given us this wonderful opportunity. And I'm so thankful because of all the things in life, we only have one life to live. And I'm so thankful that we can live it in freedom, free before the Lord to experience his love for us. I love you so much. I feel like you are such a part of us and we're a part of you.
I have a letter just sent to me just now by somebody in the congregation that says, "Dear Mr. Barnett, the sermons are wonderful. Dance as much as you want. I am so glad that you are feeling the love of God. You are a wonderful pastor. Love you. Jason Albert, 7 years old."
I wanted to testify and share with you the relationship that I have with Jesus for some time. But I haven't because I've waited for two things. One, the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit. And two, the right service in the right time. Well, here we are. My relationship with Jesus is very sacred to me. And I don't handle it lightly, and I don't want anybody else to either. And so I'm real careful who I say to what or what I say to who about it. But to you, I'll tell you about it. It's very precious. I love Jesus. I love Jesus with all of my life, all that I am, all that I ever will be, all that I ever want to be. I love Jesus. I love him. And I've been working to express love to him for some time, since last August when we elders went to Warm Beach and had a retreat, just the Seattle group, and I had an experience where the Son of God came to me and communed with me, and I experienced his love for me, and boy, did I experience my love for him. It was marvelous. I have not been the same since, and I live in that relationship. I pray in that relationship. I try to talk to you in that relationship. I'm nowhere near perfect, and I don't like what I see sometimes in me, but I know God is working with me to deliver me and change me. But I have been seeking for some time to be able to fully express to Jesus. In fact, 6 years ago, a question was asked me in my Music Ministry 3 class about dancing in the Spirit. We got into a dancing church on an outreach, and some questions came up. And so I had to come up with some answers. And we hadn't heard a whole lot from the pulpit about it, just some things about wildfire fanaticism and, you know, what the Holy Ghost does and doesn't do. So I took the principles that our beloved pastor had preached to us over the years and allowed the Holy Spirit to develop an answer in my mind. And I answered the class this: well, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, your spirit is released in a whole new realm of praise and love. But there comes a time when your desire to praise and worship and love the Lord is such that just speaking in tongues is not satisfactory, and you burst into singing in the Spirit. And now this is before singing in the Spirit days, mind you, and I hadn't done it myself. I had not gotten my singing angel that I got 3 years ago on a retreat. When was it? Some time ago. And then there comes a point in time when that isn't satisfactory, and bodily you will express love and worship and praise to Jesus in the dance. Well, I was so far from that. You know, I was like a rock in a snowstorm compared to that theology. But that was my belief, and that's still my belief. Well, I've been working and developing this relationship with Jesus for some time. And last October, when the teachers came back and proceeded to express the love of Jesus before us here in the dance, and I was sitting at the organ, I thought, ah, this is it. I have waited for this. In fact, I knew weeks in advance of this, that the next move of God's Spirit was going to be just exactly that. God showed me that in the Spirit, and I just kept it right inside, didn't tell a soul. I think I maybe told my wife, but I didn't tell anybody else, I don't think. And I just felt this, and kaboom, there it was. I thought, this is it. I've got to love the Lord. And then that weekend, I, out of obedience and a desire to express love to Jesus, I came down here and I danced before the Lord to the best of my rather clumsy ability at the time. I used to think, you know, I'd have to get jolted. Well, I did have such love for Jesus that I went right down there and did that. But I did not have the expression that I had this weekend, or this last week. I found my life was changed after that. I was a different man. I felt different. I loved the Lord different. I loved people different. I was different. But I have been wanting to do that again ever since October. And I haven't. And I don't know all the reasons why. I've tried. I've hung around down here post-service. And I have been worshiping and loving Jesus. But Monday night at the retreat, first meeting, just got there, after dinner, big dinner, wasn't quite as easy. It was, how should I say this, Mike? It was suggested to us that possibly we should be dancing before the Lord. Is that how you should say it, Mike? Nobody pushed. Now there's, you know, nobody was pushing now, God wants you there type thing. Wasn't happening. It was just suggested that you should be dancing before the Lord. And I thought, well, I've been loving the Lord here for about... to us that possibly we should be dancing before the Lord. Is that how you should say it, Mike? Nobody pushed. Now there's, you know, nobody was pushing now, God wants you there type thing. Wasn't happening. It was just suggested that you should be dancing before the Lord. And I thought, well, I've been loving the Lord here for about an hour and a half, and I'm really caught away in the Spirit, and I'm, why not? So Mike said, I'll follow you. I said, I'll follow you. I mean, I've been following him for 12 years now. We've followed each other from New York and back. I mean, you know, why should we change the pattern now? So we both stepped onto the lower level of Oakerson Lodge, and my heart let go. I let go to Jesus. And before long, all my friends were there too. And it was, as one person said, well, this is men's night. And the gentlemen, the elders of your church and the pastors and elders of your satellite churches were there, dancing before the Lord, worshiping the Lord in freedom and abandonment. Music ministry, I've been telling you for how long? Utter self-abandonment, ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful, to use an overused term. But what other one is there? It's magnificent, the ecstasy, the release of your love to Jesus when you give him all. And this time it wasn't out of obedience, it was out of absolute desire to love him and to please him. And to say the least, we had a marvelous time that Monday evening until somebody said, stop the music, we have to go to bed. And that was Monday night. Well, let me tell you about the other wonderful thing that happened on this retreat. You want to know about that? Of course you do. This will affect most of your lives, what I'm going to tell you. And I don't know if I can tell it very well, but I'm going to give it a try because it is so important to this church, what I'm going to tell you. Now, with that build up, you're listening. God did a profound work in my marriage. I mean, God did a tremendously profound, life-changing, life-altering work in my marriage. We have a different marriage today than we had a week ago. Now, mind you this, I had the best marriage in the church. So sorry.
Go ahead.
What he usually says at this point is, there's several of us with that problem. But I know what you're saying. Oh yeah, they had a good marriage. They don't fight very much. We don't fight at all. We have never fought. We have never raised our voices to each other. We have never argued. We have never treated each other with disdain or hate or negative things. We do not speak the demonic things in our minds and hearts that are so easy to come out of people's mouths. I have never, get this, log this on your refrigerator. I have never received a hurt in my heart from my wife. Never.
Good for you and your wife.
Now, I don't say that to glorify us. I don't know why, except the grace of God, that a guy like this could have such a fantastic marriage. But it has to be God and my marvelous, submissive, Holy Ghost wife that's been raised a Christian all of her life, Pentecostal. And we've had a fantastic marriage. We have had unity. We have fun. We've had limerence. We've had romance. I mean, we go away and we romance. We look like a couple of honeymooners, you know, and I don't look like I just came from the prom anymore, you know. But... But we act like it, you know? We do, because we love each other desperately, and we've had a fantastic marriage. But what we have desired for some time, and this has been a thing that's been burning in my heart for the past weeks, a unity in the Spirit. I mean real holy love of Jesus in the Spirit, united in one in the heavenlies. We have desperately longed for that. And I remember 4 or 5 years ago, Jana prophesied that. A couple of 3 years ago, a prophecy through Barbara in my office came over us, and that was mentioned. And then Tuesday morning, another prophecy, and it was mentioned. Barbara had no idea that we were up to 1 o'clock in the morning on Monday night discussing this very thing, that our hearts were prepared by the Holy Spirit, that I wanted nothing else at this retreat but to minister to my wife. That's all I wanted to do, is minister to her and to worship Jesus with her. With her. Now, I spent all these years ministering to you. Now, my wife and I will have been married 10 years in October. Now, when we first got married, everyone told us about the big adjustment. We're still waiting. And everybody said the first 5 years are the hardest. We thought, if that's the hard part, what's the next going to be? Now, we've got the next 5 years almost over, and we've loved each other so much more than we ever did when we got married. We can't figure out how we ever got married with the love we had then compared to the love that we have now. But we did, and we're awfully glad. So are our children. But during this retreat, I gave Jesus the love that I have for my wife, which is the most marvelous love that I have. It's the biggest love that I have next to my love for Jesus. I also gave to Jesus my love for my children. And if you know my children and know me, I love those girls. Oh, I love those girls. In fact, the afternoon on Tuesday morning, or it was Wednesday morning, I guess it was, I gave this love I have for my children over to my Jesus. And I gave it to him, and I loved him with the love that I have for my children. And I just gave it to him. That afternoon, we were reclining in our bucket seats in our car with the doors open and letting the wind blow through, just resting for a few minutes. Over the lake comes the PA system. George Boker, please come to the office. Calling George Boker. Well, this mosquito-shaped flash went dashing around the lake and sprinted into the office, and Jack Cooper says in his relatively slow Texas drawl, "I didn't want to tell you it was an emergency or you would have run faster. Your daughter's in the emergency room at Riverton Hospital. Please call." Well, I thought, Jesus, I just gave it to you. I assume that you're taking care of the situation. Well, it had been a fall from a bicycle and a rather bad gash, and we went in and took care of it. But I'll tell you something. I came back that night after that ordeal, and it was a bit of one, you know. And my sweet daughter, we were sitting in the waiting room, and she said with tears in her eyes, we said, "Do you want us to stay?" And she says, "No, I don't want you to miss the retreat." She's 8. Now, I really appreciate that. Boy, do I appreciate that. So we came back, and all of a sudden, the love I have for my children just began to overwhelm me. And I have a new love for my children. Boy, do I have a new love for my children. And Jesus has shown me how he is going to cause his Spirit to become so evident in our home as my wife and I are united in the Spirit, that our children are going to just flow right into that. And they're going to have experiences with Jesus. And they're going to fall in love with Jesus because mommy and daddy are in love with Jesus. And the holy love of Jesus permeates our home. And we are one in Jesus. And they're going to be saved. They're going to be in the bride of Christ. This has been a concern to me, a worry to me. Jesus promised me that if we'll just be one in the Spirit with him, that he'll save our children. And I'm so excited. Praise the Lord.
Somebody else go ahead and go right on up. You know, I was dancing there Thursday, I guess it was, and I was singing, "I give my love and my life to Jesus and my wife." And as I was singing there, because I've been kind of holding off telling you something because I was kind of wanting to give somebody else a chance to say it, but and so I still hold off, but God did a work between husband and wives at that retreat. And I have the second best marriage in the church. But it has increased. There has been, when I was doing this, I was feeling a building of love for the Lord Jesus and for my wife. And she has been experiencing that with me too, between her and her Lord. And there's just been a building and a building and a building, you know. And I feel like that I not only have a vehicle now to express myself to the Lord in a more full way, but to my wife in this way that's building something in me. Because I just feel it building when I was doing this. You know, expressing will build love. People expressing love to each other, person listening, you know, you're going to fall in love, you know.
Right.
And so this is wonderful. And I had an experience at an elder's prayer meeting about 5 years ago, and somebody asked me, well, how does that, you know, kind of compare with this? That was a dance for joy unspeakable. You know, I mean, I just had so much joy on me. I was just dancing around. I didn't look anything like I'm doing now. I was just dancing around, kind of doing, dancing a jig, just round and round of joy. But it did not compare. Did not compare to what I'm doing now. What I'm doing now can only be measured by the spirit man having its freedom to express itself through this body. And I have confidence that the Almighty God knows what this spirit is saying and how it's saying it. And I do not, I'll admit, if my rational mind comes in, you know, I do not understand those actions. That's exactly how I feel inside. It's exactly, I mean, I can't be, it's, this is, I just, that music, I just feel this way. You know, demonic music makes people go into a certain beat, you know,
yeah.
They're snapping and jerking their head. And I saw on missionary films when I was a kid, the same thing, downhill, when they would dance around the fires and the demon spirits would begin coming in. I saw the same thing in these world jazz dancers and calypsos and other things out in the world here, you know. We were, in fact, we were down there in the Caribbean, and the brochure had even mentioned these calypso music and so forth has come from demon worship in Africa. Even mentioned, so the secular brochure mentioned it. Those spirits make people act a certain way. That's fallen spirits. Unfallen spirits also make people act a certain way. And just let me say this. Please just let me say this. If we are believers that there are demons and they're hard at work in every area possible, looking for every opening possible to find something to bang on and attempt on and to attack on and accuse on, the Bible says that the devil's the accuser of the brethren, they accuse them day and night before God. He is called a deceiver of the brethren. A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. His name, Diablos, means to throw through a riddle with accusation. What Satan means adversary. They're coming to hunt every area they can. Certainly, brethren, certainly, you have got to believe some of the angels didn't fall. The Bible said so. And you've got to believe that, see, the spirit, these spirits, if those that fell are working with men under the commandment of Satan, those that are not fallen are working with men under the commandment of Michael, the warrior angel, chief archangel, under Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And if the demons are taking every advantage of you they can, unfallen angels are taking every advantage that they can. And if when you give an opening, these fallen spirits rush in. Then if you give an opening, unspirits rush in. And when you see a people that's critical, 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 you see, here's a demon of criticism. Then when you see a person who's sweet, sweet, just a sweetheart, sweet, lovely, sweetie all the time, he has the spirit of sweetness. We cannot hold a theology that believes fallen demons are busy and unfallen spirits are not. They are working. This idea of demon of dance? Of course. I mean, angels of dance? Of course. You have demons of dance? Anybody who's been in those foreign countries knows there are demons of dance, demons of music, demons of forth-telling, demons of everything there is practically. And God has his counterpart. And it's the same type of thing, and it should not strain the imagination at all to understand that there are spirits to sing to us, dance to us. After all, I remember hearing a tape where this 13-year-old girl began to speak in an ancient English brogue. American girl in ancient English brogue. And this demon was speaking out of her. And this person who was coming in was tearing down the rock music. And this demon spoke out of her and said, "You may have got him now." And that was taking him away from rock music. But he says, "My music is going to fill the churches." See? My music. And that's exactly what he's doing. And thank God that he dispatches his angels. Jesus said, hereafter you shall see angels ascending and descending on this path or way of Christ that he's made. Because he arose, we shall rise also. Because he died for us and rose, he is the ladder, the path to heaven. And because of that, there's an access now to the Father. And they dispatch angels and says, "Little ones, behold, I'll be holding." The angels, they're angels of the little ones. They're angels who are beholding the face of their Father which is in heaven. They're little ones, angels. He shall give you angels lest you dash your foot against a stone. Demons will try to cause accidents. There's angels keeping you from accidents. See, we need to, the church has been silent on angels, practically. But we need to open up to understand that they are busy for the Lord. And this is one of the things they want the people to do, to dance before the Lord and praise the Lord and express themselves before the Lord. There was a brother, and maybe he'll give a testimony in a minute. There's a brother from one of our satellite churches that gave a testimony up there about him going to another church and the dancing, and then dancing last night. Maybe he'll give a chance to testify about that.
Well, I hardly know where to begin. I think I had the best time of my life since I got Spirit-filled at this retreat. And I say that, Don's talking about these particular demonic dances. Now, I grew up, as many of you know, as a rock and roll musician, and rock music was a very important part of my life. In fact, it was the most important part of my life until I got Spirit-filled. And prior to the time when I was in high school, and even as I went into high school, I went to rock and roll dances all the time, and I either played them with my guitar or I went to dance in them. And I was not an artistic dancer by any means. I just went out there and just kind of had a fling. But, you know, and I tried to get free. You know, you want to kind of get free and things like that. But I have never felt, honestly, never in any of that time ever felt as free as I did, even tonight, as I began to dance here. I felt somewhat free on the retreat, but I got freer tonight even than I was on the retreat. And I can tell you for a fact that it's a completely different thing because I've tried both. I have tried both. And of course, they're both spiritually inspired, but it's a different spirit. Don called this aerobic exercise. I like to call it pneumatic exercise from the Holy Spirit, because it was the Holy Spirit that was guiding and working and anointing me even to begin to dance. And I'll tell you, there is something else about this. Now, I don't want to give too much glory to the devil, because we don't want him to gain any glory. But you know, when you're dancing in a rock dance or something, there's something happening to your body. And it's because of the devil coming in there, and George could tell this better, but the adrenaline begins to flow through your body and different physiological and psychological changes. And you know, I began to realize when I sat down there, I didn't feel any of those. None of them. I didn't feel any of those destructive things that comes in the body when you're giving your body over to the devil. See? It was pure. It was holy. It was wonderful. I felt good. I felt like doing it some more. And I didn't, you know, my calves are a little sore, like Don was saying, but it's completely different. It felt so much better than anything that I'd ever experienced before. And you know, I don't think we can say it enough times, but every one of the elders up there would say that we felt a greater unity for each other than we've ever felt before. I feel so much in love with each one of the elders and the brothers, the pastors, and some of the other ones that came up there, the intercessors and different ones. I can't even explain it. I wish I had the words to explain it. We had a time when we were out there dancing. My wife was dancing and I was dancing, and I just momentarily I grabbed a hold of her and we began to spin and spin. And you know what? It was increasing my love for Jesus. I wasn't associating what we were doing, man and wife. It was like God is just doing something, and here's the one I spend the most time praying with and the most time worshiping with and the most time with, and it's just natural. Now, I don't know if we'll do this all the time, but it was just something that happened at that particular time. Oh, and I felt so much love just gushing out toward my wife, too, through this whole thing. I just felt like, boy, this is a second honeymoon. We've had a wonderful marriage, but this is just... Well, I think Julie Powell expressed it best. She said this. Woo! That's what she said. I don't want to take any more time, but we just had a really wonderful time in the Lord. There's one other point I did want to bring in, and that was there was one thing that happened to me just before I began to really get free, and that was that I had a deliverance session with Brother Marvin and Brother Jackie Graham. I had the best deliverance session I ever had. And they began to pray with me, and we battled some demons, and after about an hour and a half, I couldn't battle anymore. I'd battled, and they'd battled, and I just laid there. And you know, that evening I went back, and I looked at the Bible, and I began to read about the Red Sea, and you know, it was exactly the same thing. You know, they went through the Red Sea, and they gained their deliverance, and then what happened? They began to sing. And I imagine they weren't just singing. I mean, they were singing. And then, Miriam, began to play the tambourine and they began to dance. And I'll preach that sermon next week in Kalispell.
Oh, hallelujah. I have a different husband. He's Mr. Lightfoot is his middle name. I don't know. Hallelujah. I grew up as a Mennonite. Consequently, I never danced. I didn't equate with dancing or moving with music. I'm really glad I never danced. I honestly am. Because the very first time I did was before the Lord. And when I very first heard about dancing in the Spirit on the tapes, oh, I wanted to do it then. And I told different people, I said, if I ever dance, you're going to know it's the Lord. Because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to move my feet. I don't know the right steps. I don't know what you're supposed to look like. But anyway, what happened is, thank you for sending the team to Kalispell. So many wonderful things happened. I'm really, really appreciative of you sending them. And one of the last nights, they ministered to us. They all teamed up and they ministered to the elders and their wives and to the pastor and the wife. And there's only three of us, and so it wasn't difficult to minister to all of us. And one particular girl, Denise Rapp, just stuck with me the whole night. And oh, I appreciate that. I really appreciate her boldness and her just sticking right there with me and praying with me. And it was such a blessing, and it set me free. When the team came, very first night, as soon as they arrived, one of the girls was out there right away, and she was dancing. And you know we were watching her, because we'd never done it before. We had wanted to, but we hadn't done it. And she was just out there, and she was so free. And we just watched. We just absorbed it. And I really wanted to do that real bad. She was taking up the whole area up in front, and I knew if I got out there, I'd get run over. So we just watched, and we learned. And something I learned, which is important for those who desire to step out in dancing before the Lord, and that is that I noticed they just did it in faith. They just stepped right out there. They didn't just kind of shuffle around and then move on. They just went. And I thought, that's a key. I'm going to remember that. And I'm not just going to sort of move my feet around and try to look free. When I get up the nerve to get out there, I'm going to go out there. And I don't know what I'm going to look like, but I'm going to do it. And I remember that from watching them. Well, anyway, back to Denise Rapp. She stayed with me until the end. At the very end, she said, "I felt like you were going to start to dance in the Spirit." And sure enough, I did. She said, and I knew that God wanted to play you like an instrument. And so she said, I started moving with my hands, and I said, "Lord, play her like an instrument." And what would happen is she'd do something, and then she'd look over there, and then I'd be doing the same thing. And then she'd twirl her hands around, and she'd look over there, and I'd be twirling around. And she said, "My hands got peppier, and then you got peppier." And it was such a blessing for her to say that, because it gave me enough nerve after that to think, well, maybe I do have, you know, maybe there is an angel dancing through me, and maybe it's not just my imagination, because I remember thinking at the point where I was twirling, I remember thinking, next I'm going to twirl. And so I did, I twirled, you know, and then she told me that, and I thought, well, I guess it really, that was the Lord, you know, it was kind of like I knew the next step, so I knew what to do next, you know. But anyway, that is the very first time that I ever danced before the Lord, and of course I never danced with a man before. Well, back up a little bit, about a month before we came out here, God began to do a real wonderful work in my heart toward my husband. And I just told my husband this at the retreat. And it began to build and to build. And that was that it became the most important thing in my life to minister to my husband, whether I was ever involved in any ministries at all or ever seen again. And I didn't realize how important it had been to me for self-esteem sake, to be in front of people or to be seen or to minister. And I am involved in lots of ministries. I always have been. It's been my heart to minister to people. But I came to a place where it didn't matter if God anointed other people to take all the ministries I had, and I was never seen again except that I could minister to my husband and he could be seen, and Jesus could be seen through him. And it's the first time that's ever happened, and I have desired for it to be that way, but it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to be in that place where I know that it's the most natural thing in the world. And I began to make commitments, and it really did look like God was taking his anointing off of me in certain areas. And I thought, well, that's just fine, Lord, if I'm never, ever, ever seen again. If I can do this one ministry, it's the most important thing in my life at this point besides ministering to you, Jesus. And so at the retreat, God had been doing all this work, and then he began to work on the relationship between the husband and the wife. And there was a point where Don and Barbara were dancing together, and pretty soon other couples began to dance together, and it was so wonderful, and they looked so ecstatic, and I really wanted to dance with my husband, but I wanted him to take the initiative. And finally he came over and he took my hand, and we began to whirl and whirl together, and a real spiritual thing happened at that point. I just could relax, and I just felt like, sure, wherever you lead me, it's just fine with me. You do the steering, you know, and I'll just relax and let you take over. And that was such a wonderful thing for that thing to happen in my heart. And, oh, I just loved it. Like I say, I've never danced with a man before. And for it to be so edifying and so before the Lord, it's really a wonderful thing. It really is a wonderful thing. And then at the very last night at the elders' retreat, we prayed for limerence to return to marriages or to be in marriages. Now, I never have felt a limerence or an infatuation for my husband. What happened is I met him, he madly loved me, and then he wooed me, and I fell in love with him. And the 11 years that we've been married, I have been falling more and more and more in love with my husband, and I almost feel like I am at the point of infatuation now. Instead of starting with it and having it diminish, it has become more and more and more wonderful, and I could just hardly take my eyes off of him. You know, he really has won my heart. Well, last night we were praying for that, and Hamels were praying with us, and the things Linda was praying were so wonderful, and I believe them. It was living out the Song of Solomon in our marriage. And I really believe that's what's going to happen. We're not going to have to wait until the rapture, just before the rapture, to have a wonderful relationship with our husbands and with Jesus. But we can live it out right now all the time and be so in love with our husbands and with Jesus even now.
Amen. Go ahead, brother. I won't be able to explain right now. Maybe Sunday morning, perhaps, or some other time. But as far as couples dancing, God used it at this retreat to really break down barriers and bring people together. And it was really wonderful because it's done before the Lord. Now, we're not going to, at this time, do it here as a ministry because it's doing something. So you can privately, you know, you can build, help build your relationship by, you know, this, or singing together, or dancing, or hugging, or whatever you want. I'll give the details and perspective of this thing at a later time, but I just wanted you to know that. However, there may be times, no, undoubtedly will be, when God is going to do something between a husband and a wife in this place, and maybe that's done, and they're going to come over, and then all of a sudden, this is the exception, and God's going to do something, He may cut the whole assembly loose. See, we have to be open for anything God wants to do. And we've got to understand, you cannot look at things in relationship to the subnormal Christianity we've grown up in. You see, the average person, people are saying, well, I'm Episcopalian. I say, oh, why? Have you, does that mean that you have researched all the different denominations and you have checked them all very carefully to the Bible, and you have decided that this one follows the Word of God the most closely and has the most power of the Spirit of God? Is that what you've decided? No. Dad and mom rule. But everybody's got a dad and mom or something else. And that is the most, for intelligent people and for logical people, that is the poorest excuse for deciding an eternal religion that has to do with eternity and God on the basis, well, mom was a Catholic and dad was a Presbyterian and the Catholic Church wouldn't marry him, so he left the Catholic Church, and the Episcopalian Church was closer to the Catholic, so they went to the Episcopalian Church, and then they moved to another town, and that town, the only church they really had was the Presbyterian Assembly of God, so they went to the Presbyterian Church, and we are Presbyterians. That is a strange way to pick a religion. See? And so, you cannot just decide how do we react based on what we have seen, so forth and so on, see. And we need to look at things like God looks at things. I mean, here we are like little ants on a basketball down there, you know, nuzzling one another, moving around. And, you know, people get so excited about these little decorum, you know, of you know, what does Emily Post say, and what about this, and you know, how do you do this, and everybody copycatting this, and what do we do now, and all of this. Yeah, we belong to the Lord.
Right.
And we can't get our philosophia, philosophy, love of wisdom, from the world about us.
Right.
We have to derive ours from the Holy Spirit He's given us that will lead us and guide us into all truth. Yeah. And the scriptures that give that, gave that scripture to people who were going to have a Bible, and He didn't say the Bible will do it all. The Bible gives you the Word, but it gives you the Holy Spirit that will lead you and guide you. The Bible is your foundation, but the Spirit is going to lead you, which means you're not there yet. Which means there are additional things in what you're going to read. But they're based on those same principles. And He's going to take us to a certain place. And so we must keep our minds and hearts open for what God wants to do. And if you don't know where the guidelines are and the rails, I think I do. And with the Lord leading, and with your prayers,
yeah,
instead of criticisms,
right,
with your prayers and your faith,
right,
and the Lord leading,
yeah,
we are going to make sure that what we do has the Lord behind it.
Yeah.
And when I was up at the retreat, I gave a number of talks to the pastors and elders, and I've ordered those to be put on one tape, and we're going to be made available by next weekend. You'll be able to know what I told them on these different days, and they thought it was a big help. and taking a lot of these perspectives and giving a lot of details and so forth and answering questions and so forth. And I think it'll be good for you to get more of this information and know how and why and a lot of these things. But the Lord is leading us. This is the Lord. And we see the inward man and what's happening on the inward. We look at the fruits of it, and the fruits are good.
First off, I'd like to say that I've been up here before, but I've never had the peace I have tonight. I don't have any fear. I don't have any of that. And a lot of it's because of dancing. What happened in that retreat is marvelous. When I got there, first off, you check in, and the first thing that happens is you walk around and you see different individuals. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but you're in your own little world, you know, and you only let people come so far into that world at some times, you're trying to show love, but you have these insecurities sometimes in your life, at least I do, or I did, and inferiority situations that are blocking you from really expressing the love that you really do have for those people. But God melted all that out. I mean, so just like that. Monday night, when we went in to that fellowship hall, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden that song that we played tonight started coming across, and all I can tell you is that was so anointed by God. When that came in, God quickened that into my heart when I was a young boy, and I live on the other side. I'm from Yakima Fellowship, but I live in Ephrata. And anyhow, my grandparents have a cabin out at Lake Goodwin. When I was a boy, we used to move all the furniture back, and my aunt would grab my hands, and we'd have Lawrence Welk on, and she'd start waltzing me around the room. And I felt so secure and so, you know, like, boy, look at me move, you know. And I was just whirling around in the room, and that's exactly how I felt. I mean, I feel like I was just moving in this song. I felt like I was in the Alps, and this song was coming across, and these singers were coming on, and all these people with they just had love in their hearts, and they were dancing away. And that's how it was, only it was not the Alps. It was with the Lord, and we were dancing before the Lord, and things were happening, and what I found out in my life, what happened was all those insecurities, all those inferiorities, all those spirits of unlove were just dropping off of me. I mean, it was just instant delivery, complete. And when I got done, I look around the room, and my heart was just yearning for all those people. There were no walls. All walls were gone, and I'm not talking about a wall with a Pastor Dan or Mike or anybody because they are something in the Lord. I'm not, you know, I'm talking, it doesn't matter, you know, if you understand what I'm saying, if we start putting people on pedestals and things like that, God takes all that away. I mean, even though you say, well, I don't have that, you know, there's a tendency to go that way, but when God moved into this thing, all that, it just fell. I mean, the first night, it just went wham. And I, you know, I can't explain the joy that was. It was just, I've never felt it, ever. I mean, so free to have such a unity. And I shared up there that I have never felt unity with so many, I'm talking about with grade school buddies all the way through, with such a unity with the people there that I did all this week. I mean, they were like my brothers and sisters, and they are my brothers and sisters, but like flesh and blood brothers and sisters. I could hug them, it's so just marvelous. But what I wanted to say also is that I came from a background where I went to a lot of Pentecostal churches, not growing up, but after I got saved at college. And after I got out of college, we moved to Spokane, and I went to this church, and they have what they call, quote, dancing in the spirit. What they do is they have the pastor gets up and says, okay, we're all going to dance in the spirit now, so everybody stand up, you know, and put your right foot out, here we go, and then you start doing this little thing, you know, in the flesh. In my opinion, it was in the flesh. And if you didn't do it, they said, well, you got to die to self, brother. You got to die to self. And so I tried to die to self for a year and a half. I tried to die to self. Out there doing this shuffle, you know, and they we'll call dancing in the spirit. And we did that, you know. Okay, this is the time for dancing in the spirit. We all got up and everybody stood up and we did dancing in the spirit. And then I was involved in another charismatic church where we did what was called the Jericho March. And I mean, you probably some of you or all of you may have been involved in some of these things. And they actually pulled me out of the chair and made me march around the room. And I was like this, you know, sitting in the chair. There was no way I was going to get up. And they actually grabbed me and pulled me out of the chair and made me march around the room with them. And to this day, that has affected me. That has kept me away. And I told myself I would never dance. I didn't like dancing that much when I was younger in high school and things like that. And I told myself I will never dance because this is, you know, this is in the flesh and I can't see it. But I have to say that what happened this weekend was not, this was the real thing. It was real. And I don't know how else to express it to you, but dancing in the spirit, it's real. There is a place. And there's no problem. It was, you know, it just flows and it just, you can't help it. And it's just so right. And I knew it that night when I walked in there and those songs came forth. God was just pulling me. He was pulling me out there and I knew it was real in my life and I knew it was going to come to pass. And I couldn't say no because God was saying yes, yes, you know. And when I got out on that floor and started dancing around and letting my arms go and my legs go, and I just said, Lord, I just abandon everything. I abandon all these fears. I don't care who's looking at me. I'm not concerned. I'm just going to love you. And I just started singing with the song as I'm just moving my body. And I just started saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. I just received my love. And he was. He was receiving it. And I could feel his love on me. And it changed me. And I could not stand. My heart is not beating 90 miles an hour. And I've been up here and I can tell you that usually it is. But that is gone. I mean, those fears are gone. All of that is gone. And I love you guys so much. And it's just drawn me to you. And just that unity. I cannot tell you or express to you how I feel about this unity, about the oneness. And now I can see how God is drawing us together. He is going to draw us together. And all these inhibitions or things that we're afraid quite to receive that love from that brother or whatever, all that's going to go. That's going to go. It's so clear. It is so clear. And God is using this dancing in the Spirit to bring us to a place, at least to me, to drop off a lot of these inhibitions that I've had in the past. And before, one other thing I wanted to say is that after the retreat, we came over here. We like to do a little shopping over here in the big city compared to Ephrata. So we went down to all the big shops. We went down to Value Village. And so we started shopping around down there for all the good deals. And but as we were
here,
there...
Here at the chapel, they call it Blue Village.
Hey, that's good. I'll have to tell them that at home. But when I got into that place, they had the worldly music going. And as you're looking at clothes, and man, it just pulls you down. And it just started pulling on my flesh. And all these sad songs, all these depressed songs, all these things just dampening your spirit and pulling you away from what you have received. And the joy that I felt in my heart and the love. I mean, I'm walking down the street and I see people and I just want to love them. You know, I mean, I want to grab them and say, I love you. And you know, Jesus loves you. But, you know, I don't do it because I don't want to look too fanatical. So, but I do. I would love to. I would love to. I just like to tell them about Jesus. It has increased my love for the Lord. But anyhow, after I left that place and when we came back here and walked in this door, right back in. All that left. I could feel the joy of the Lord come on me and the love. So different than turning on the radio and hearing depression, you know, inferiority things and unloved, spirits of unlove just blasting you on that radio. And but it's given me more, it's more cut and dry for me now. I mean, it's so obvious the difference in the music, the difference in the dancing. You know, it's just, it just draws you right in, and you just go right instantly into a place of worship, and you're right there.
Amen. The secret is the woods. He'll be all right after a while.
Amen.
The secret is in the spirit.
Amen.
Of course, as you can see, he uses the flesh, but the secret is in the spirit. Whether you dance in the spirit, sing in the spirit, preach in the spirit, the thing is the spirit motivating. And when the soul motivates with the spirit, the body's using the flesh, and they might seem similar in some respects to people, but you see, if the spirit is articulating, it's reaching the throne room of God. And God can't be impressed by the outward, but all his heart is touched by the inward. His heart is touched by, you know, and we use these bodies, and that's the important thing to God, is not the use of the body, but the giving of yourself, the giving of your body, soul, and spirit to the Lord. That's what really touches him.
Well, I just discovered another reason why I'm going to need a new glorified body. Oh, the Lord has been so good. So good. So good to me, so good to all of us. The presence of the Lord is just from the very first night, and I just feel like I've been just baptized in the presence of the Lord all week long. I mean, there's no break whatsoever. I mean, it was just constant, day in and day out, and I so appreciate that. I have always had a disdain for dancing, even in the old life. And I wasn't saved, I wasn't a Christian, but I was not your normal average person. And I withdrew, I don't want to go into all the details, but I hated dancing. I had to go to one dance when I was in high school. The National Honor Society was head on, and I was a member of it, and I had to be there to set things up and so forth. And I can remember making a scene there. Some girls trying to get me to dance with her, and I absolutely, dogmatically refused. And I didn't want anything to do with it. I mean, it was no, no, no. That was it. So I didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, it just didn't even, I didn't relate to it whatsoever. Theologically, since I've come to the Lord, I've never had a real theological problem with it because it's there in the Scripture. You know, the Psalms say, you know, praise Him in the dance. And I've known down in my heart that someday, somewhere along the line, you know, the Lord was going to set me free and we'd be dancing before the Lord. I've always felt that, but it was always someday. You know, it's like the rapture, someday, you know, someday down the line. Push it off a little bit and you don't have to worry about it. But the first night, on Monday night, I was sitting there just enjoying the presence of the Lord. Sitting down, we were praying, and when that song came forth, and I should say this, I've been free in the Lord all of my Christian life to the degree, you know, that I could live to at that time. I've always had an easy time praying and worshiping the Lord and loving the Lord. I've laughed in the Spirit. I've had visions and experiences in the Lord, and it's been wonderful. And as the music ministry has been playing and after service and so forth, my feet have, you know, wanted to go, you know, and they've been shuffling around, and I my spirit inside was longing to be down there with the others just dancing back and forth. I mean, the spirit was there. But there were these inhibitions, of course, we all know. I don't even know all what they were, but I know pride was among them and all the rest. And I just didn't go. And I've known I should have been down there. And there's been a number of times that I should have been there. And I knew that my going down there would set some others free. And so I felt that, but there was just, and I just didn't know what to do about it. And the joy was there, and the degree of love for the Lord and the degree of joy was there to the extent that I could have expressed it in that way and not been overdoing it or not been insincere. But yet there's these inhibitions that hold you back. And I know many can identify with what I'm saying. That Monday night, as that song came forth, I knew that I couldn't just sit there. And I saw George Boker standing up a ways from me, and his feet were starting to get a little light. And I felt the same way. I came up and stood beside him there, and we were just worshiping the Lord, and my feet were shuffling like they'd done before. It wasn't anything different than what I'd experienced before, but it was wonderful. And then, as George said, we had a loving suggestion, and as soon as that came, and I want to make this clear that even though there was a suggestion there, it was a suggestion prompted by faith and prompted by sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, because as soon as it came, I knew that was God, and I knew I'm sure that I'd have been down there eventually, even without it. But I knew that that was God speaking to my heart, and I reacted in the, you know, in the flesh a little bit, and withdrawing, and tried to push George out in front of me, and all the rest. But I knew in my heart that wasn't right. I knew that God wanted me to go down there, and there wasn't any question about it. But I had, see, I'd never danced before. I didn't know anything what it felt like. I could see people down there, everybody doing different. I couldn't figure out how they were making the steps. And I could see people weaving around back and forth, and I was, my mind was, you know, calculating the trajectories and the logic of, you know, I mean, the probability of collisions and all the rest. Go ahead, George.
Let me explain that suggestion. Lest it be a mystery to you, and so you understand. What happened was, as I was standing there minding my own business, you know, like a pedestrian in a line, and I was in love with Jesus, and I had longed for this retreat just to do exactly that, take hours and hours and hours to love Jesus. And I could hear Mike's voice back there, and it's always a blessing, and I heard Earl Thurner's voice saying something kind of like, roo, 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 in the background. And I heard my name and George, and so I turned around and said, what? And she turns to me and says, Barbara thinks you should be down there. So I looked over at Barbara, and she goes... And so that was the suggestion.
Let me give you just a little more insight behind the scenes. If I can stand still, I don't want to lose this dancing angel. I lost him once, and I'm not taking a chance of losing him again. But I'll give you my testimony another time. I had to listen to that still small voice, you know. And I saw Earl Thurner there, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, the elders are going to dance tonight. And so I motioned to Earl Thurner, and I said, Earl, I believe that if you would go get Mike, and if you would get Mark Yokers, we could get them down there with just a little coaxing, and it wouldn't be long till all the elders would be there. So Earl danced over to Mark. He was sitting on the step. And he sat there by Mark for a little bit. And pretty soon he danced back over to me and he says, I believe I'll go try Mike first. So he danced over to Mike, and then that happened. And then pretty soon he went back over to Mark, and then he danced over to me again, you know, and he says, I think I'll go get, and I can't remember, but anyway, and I said, yeah, that'll be good. And so, and then he looked at me, and his eyes, you know, his eyebrows went up, and he went over to George Albert. He sat down by George. And then pretty soon he got up and danced back to me, and he says, I've got to have more anointing for that one. I'm going to leave it for now. He said, I'm going to go try Ron. You know? And so this little interchange was going on between Earl Thurner and I. So he'd come back over and I said, you go ahead, Earl. You go get that one, you know. And, yeah, Earl. So I was building him up and he would take off after another one. And pretty soon then we had almost all of them down there. Then you won't believe what happened. Earl Thurner sat down for a rest. George Albert came up behind him and said, well, Earl, I guess I'm going to go down there and join that. Earl danced over to me and he said, guess what Tom Albert's just told me? You know, George Albert's just told me. And here, George had taken the step himself. And so that was such a thrill to Earl to have that happen. But then all those elders down there, it was just such a blessing to see them all just entering in. And then what happened? The wives started in. And so I thought, you know, if we could just kind of join hands here, maybe we could just get the wives going a little. And pretty soon then the wives up on the other area were dancing and
that gave me a little bit of equilibrium, see? So then I let loose of their hands and I got brave enough to try a few of these kind of things myself. But I didn't have my dancing angel at that time, but I'll tell you about that another time.
Since we've already stopped Mike a moment, I don't know how I'm going to live with a wife who's always moving. You know? But I tell you what happened to me last night. All night long, that music was in my head. And I was singing it, and I was visualizing, just dancing, I guess you know. And all night, and I just said, Lord, I just want to praise you all night. And I said, it doesn't make any difference whether I sleep or I don't. And all night, I sang in my mind and danced all night. And see, I'm a person that, not being musical, I don't go around singing during the daytime. I'd like to be able to. I think that's really good, but I don't. I just don't. I never sounded that great. And I never, you know, never was oriented that way, so I just don't sing. And that'd be highly unusual. And once before, this thing happened, but it was different. An angel ministered to me all night long. All night. And I woke up refreshed. And this time, I don't really know. It's hard to tell. I don't know, you know, whether I was asleep, awake, how much, drifting in and out. At one point of time, I think I probably drifted into sleep and out of sleep and kept it up. And I looked at the clock one time, you know, like 2 o'clock or something, and I was so relaxed. And I've had trouble with spirits, bothering me. I haven't slept probably more than, I probably have averaged 4, 5, and 6 hours a night for quite a long time now. And I used to always get 8. But I woke up so relaxed, and I was still singing. And I said, it doesn't make any difference whether I sleep or I don't. I'm just praising him. And I felt so good this way. And all night, I woke up feeling just fine in the morning. But all night long, this was happening. And when I woke up, there was a demonic bondage. Now, I can't prove this yet. I'm giving it a little bit too soon. I need to prove it a while because it hasn't really been tested, so I don't know for sure. But there's been a certain thing that I was unable to come to grips with. And it's by doing all night doing this, I woke up feeling I can come to grips with this. And so I just did it right there. And just like it did something, all that night it just did something. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I forgot just one thing. I mentioned something to Lanny Peterson when we saw George go down there and stand on the siding. And so Lanny says, I got a word for that brother. And he ran down to George Albert's ear and said, the first step's the hardest.
Well, that's really true. That first step, as I was coming down the steps and didn't know what else to do, I think some others had been dancing there earlier, but it seemed like at the time I didn't see anybody but just the blank runway there, you know, and Don shared afterwards that night about the necessity of faith, stepping out in faith, and that's just what I can say. I had absolutely no experience to go by, so it was just, I took a couple steps and away I was, and it was just broken and I was free. And I enjoyed it so much, just the joy of the Lord. But as Donna said, it was more than joy, it was worship. It was like before I had been worshiping as much as I could at the time, but I knew there was more. I knew there was more freedom to just throw the whole thing into the hat, as it were, and just give all to the Lord and worship Him. And that's just what was happening. And you know, you always think, well, you're going to worry about what people are thinking. And I could see, you know, as I'd open my eyes once in a while, I could see people around. And I could feel their love. I could feel their love, and I could feel their absolute joy, what was happening to us down there. And it was just delightful. It was just glorious. It gave you greater freedom. And then as I saw George Boker out there and Mark Yokers and others just starting to come in, it was just so delightful. God was tying our hearts together in the spirit, not in the flesh, not in the soul, but in the spirit. And before the Lord, it was just absolutely delightful before the Lord. And I didn't ever want to stop. And I began to start noticing after, I don't know how long we were there that night. It must have been an hour and a half or something like that, 2 hours, I don't know. Stopping and going and just dancing before the Lord. And of course, my legs were relaxed. I didn't know what I was doing to my body at the time, and I didn't care. And so I didn't have any limitations that way the first night, and it was just rejoicing. And I can remember just as I began to start dancing before the Lord, I'd had a vision before, about 2 years ago in an elder's retreat. Some of us had just started to move in a little bit, shuffling the feet a little bit, and there were some of the ladies, of course, that were freer to dance. But it was really, nothing at all anywhere near what we're experiencing now. And the Lord had given me a vision during one of the meetings, and I saw the Lord dancing. And he was dancing just with such delight. It was like a deer on the mountains, and his legs, his knees were coming up so high, and he was about floating about 3 feet off the ground. And it was just so clear to me, and it was just so delightful. And that came right back to me as I was dancing before the Lord. And it was just like he was right there with us, just dancing, and it was just so easy and so free and so delightful. It wasn't any problem whatsoever. And I didn't have to have any experience before. It was just totally by faith. And it was just wonderful before God. And I could just go on and on and on. The next night, the Lord, of course, began to start working with the husbands and the wives. And I guess I'll have to say now that we've got a three-way tie for the best marriage in the church. But the Lord has given my wife and I such a unity, such a love, I've always considered an absolutely perfect marriage. But the Lord is always way ahead of us, and he sees things that we don't see. And he began to minister to us. And I found myself during this retreat, I never wanted to be separated from my wife. I wanted to be with her all the time. And I always do to an extent, but it was special. And I was noticing that others were the same way. God was doing a special thing. And the next night, Tuesday night, I still had some strength left in my legs and was dancing a little bit before the Lord. And there was just one time there where my wife and I just had the wonderful joy of dancing together before the Lord. And it wasn't like man and woman. It was like two little children. Absolutely delighted before the Heavenly Father, and we were the best friends, it was just wonderful to express that joy before the Lord together. And during the retreat, God began to do more. Last night, as you've heard already, God did a wonderful thing in my wife and I, and began to expose things that we were just not even aware of. I've noticed something about deliverance, and another sister prayed with me for deliverance again one of the earlier mornings. It was just wonderful. But you see, when deliverance first came, there were a lot of obvious things that I knew about. Demons that I knew about and had to be gotten rid of. And they were promptly gotten rid of. And once the top layer was gone, you might say, I didn't have any more discernment. I didn't know. I didn't know myself well enough, you see, to know what the problems really were and the subtle things. And the Lord began to expose those things one by one by one by one. And I just felt that was taken care of. It was just total faith. And I began to feel different. And my wife and I last night just sharing together and God revealing precious things to us and showing us things that we would never have even considered before and some areas that we knew vaguely about. But he just zeroed in and just did a wonderful cleansing work between us and just a uniting. And it's like being filled with the Holy Ghost, and you tell somebody when they're first spirit filled, you think it's wonderful, now it's going to get better. And that's just the way our marriage has always been, as others have testified, but it's another step. It's another step into a more spiritual realm, in our love for one another as well as our love for the body of Christ. Another thing I've got to share is just the overwhelming, and many have said the same thing, the overwhelming love that we had one for another. It's just incredible. I mean, I know the words are totally inadequate to describe it. But there was one night after my legs gave out about this. After the second night, I just couldn't do anything anymore physically, and I had to come against the spirit of resentment too, because I would have been down there all the time, honestly, all the time, if my body could have held up. There was just no question about it. But because I couldn't, I had to vicariously rejoice for the other brothers and sisters that were becoming free. And there was one night, I can't remember, I think it was Wednesday night, I was standing there as others were beginning to get free to dance in the Lord, and Lanny Peterson was next to me there, and we were just rejoicing together. Well, every once in a while, old Lanny would come out with a big glory, you know, and just delightful, and we'd see others come start getting set free. Saw Earl Failer down there, and it just, I tell you, it did something in my heart to see him get set free. I tell you, that did something way down in the decimal. I've been longing to see him experience the joy of the Lord. And it just there's no way to describe it. I felt is equal to the experience that I had when I saw him get set free. And then one after another, just rejoicing before the Lord. And it's not the dancing itself. It's what you know is going on inside their soul and spirit when you see that. And we were just rejoicing together. I told Lanny, you know, is there any other place on this planet you would rather be than right here, right now? I mean, there was just no question about it. We were in the presence of God, and it was just a supernatural, delightful rejoicing. It was a foretaste of heaven. It was a foretaste of being in His presence where there's fullness of joy. And another thing, too, that I noticed with the satellite churches and their elders and their pastors, in the years past, there has been subtly, and I can understand it, a sort of an intimidation, you know, a sort of a, with the elders in Seattle and the pastor here, it's hard to describe it, but you can see, you know, there's sort of a fear and an uneasiness, and that was just not there. It was just not there. Everyone that I was sharing with and talking with, you could tell they were free from that. And there was such a unity among us and a binding together and a sharing of hearts and an openness and a freedom. In the lunchtime, in the meal times, every time, it was just totally delightful. I just wish we'd had more time to intimately share with everyone. But every time you'd walk by somebody, you just couldn't help but hug them and love them in the Lord. God was doing tremendous things in our hearts. And it's always been good at retreats, but there's been a progressive increase. Every single year, every single retreat we have, God's bringing us to a higher level. And it's a permanent level. And we know that this work is a permanent work. It's just going to increase. But it's not just a momentary thing, a good feeling. Like Donna said, there's a whole new vehicle now of expression to the Lord. There's a whole new realm of freedom in worship to the Lord. And it's drawing us to a more intimate place. I'm so thankful for what God has done in me. And He's broken down a lot of these old, crusty physics major shells and a lot of the other things. And I could care less about that. You know, one of the things that they prayed for me. It was a false sense of identity, you know, with all of that stuff that I've been brought up with and kind of identified with. And it's just, I just feel so different about it. I just feel so completely free in the Lord. And I'll be in the Lord what He wants me to be and nothing else. Amen.
Rosemary Guthrie at the retreat came up as an intercessor who said, "We're so sweet to one another." And, you know, it was true. I mean, everybody is, how are you, and hugging one another, and big smiles, and everybody's sweetie on this. You see, in the world, there's all this snide, everybody is, you know, tough, you know, that's your Mac, you know, I mean, all this kind of stuff, see? It's all demonic. It's demonic. The world is constantly giving out demonic reactions all the time. And up there, what you see was constantly angelic reactions. Everybody's sweeting, hugging, loving. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. That's what God wants it. And Mike Sablin, he wasn't just standing in one spot. You know, okay. I mean, Mike was just sailing between people and around, and he was just kind of going along, you know, weaving in and out with people, you know, moving along and like this. And it was wonderful to see him. And Maureen stood over there, and she said, "Mike has never danced before." And she was so thrilled. So thrilled. And I was too, to see him dancing there. I gave a little piece of humor, a little piece of sarcasm and humor to heighten the point I was making. And I was in this ecstasy, and I said to this person next to me, I said, "You know, this Christianity is sure a boring drag, isn't it?" See, and you really got the point, because there's so many people that think that, well, Christianity is just a boring, it's just a drag. I'm going to tell you something. Christianity, as it's supposed to be, with the Spirit, is the most thrilling spiritual fun and enjoyment of anything. Really. And I have noticed, I've been in revivals before, and just like tonight, just the freedom tonight, the expression, the laughter of the people, the enjoyment, see? Instead of, "When's the service going to be over?" Oh, you know, I guess, see? Revival always gives life. There's laughter, there's joy, There's excitement. It's always more life. And it's a thrilling thing. And the last thing I want to mention was, I mentioned my ecstasy and agony. And I mentioned the ecstasy, I don't think I mentioned the agony, but I'll be real brief, but I really was under real agony of spirit. Because the spirit was willing, but the legs were weak. Or I should say the legs were tight. And sore. But I wanted, in the worst way, I wanted to be out there all the time. All the time. I mean, for a man who disdained dancing like I did, to just want to dance is so absolutely, totally foreign to me, because I had no use for this moving the body around. None. I didn't want to be in the floor all the time. And that's it. I don't deal. I've got to hold back. I won't have any legs left. I mean, it'll be so sore, it'll take a long time to heal if I keep going. I don't deal push the body any further. The oil light's on already. And so, I was holding back, but the agony. No, I mean, I would never have that agony because, well, I couldn't really pray or anything. I have had some times here, I'll have to admit, after services, there's been times when I wanted so badly that when the music was drawing me, and I had to go counsel them, I thought, oh, if I could just stay, you know. I've experienced that. But this time, I was in an agony like I have never experienced. Like, you know, like I have both legs cut off and you wanted to go dance or something, say. Like I just wanted to be out there all the time, and I was in an agony. I was in an agony. At the same time, I was in an ecstasy. At the same time, I was feeling, out of my mouth was coming both things, you know. This is really wonderful. But oh, I wish I could be out there. Oh, I wish I could be out there. The drawing. But I feel so drawn. I can't wait till these muscles get in shape and these lung sacs get filled up. Before, see, all I had to do is make it from my bed to my desk. And I could do that, see. So I really wasn't exercising because I didn't have the motivation, see. But now I got motivation. Not because of dance, but because of expressing my spirit to the Lord in such a satisfying new way that I'm going to be doing this all the time. I'm going to get in shape now. I'm going to lose this bay window. I'm going to come down, you know. You ever see my shoes again, you know? I really am thankful for what the Lord is doing. This is a real wonderful thing.
I just couldn't take my eyes off of him when he was out there because I could see the movements that were so expressive. And because he has the ability in his body, he's in touch with his body, being athletic. I mean, he could just put his body in just every shape possible. And you could just see the magnification of the love of God and his love for the Lord in it. And I just wanted to, my eyes were just glued to him. I was so enraptured with it. And then I learned that I missed when he danced, and I just, oh no, I just can't bear to miss it. I mean, it just drew my heart. It just caused me to love Jesus because the expression there, and I know that you're going to be able to get that in a full as soon as his legs get a little bit more healed of his. But there is such a full expression that he's able to give forth. Of the love of God and also God's love for his people. It's just wonderful.
Hallelujah. I just wanted to share the power in the love of God, especially the power that emanates from this place. I'm from the Bozeman Fellowship, and my husband and I come here periodically, but there is so much love here, and I feel like I need to express this because there are probably people here that just live here and maybe take it for granted a little bit of what you have here. But when I came here this time, I just came really to just love the Lord. That's why I went to the retreat. My husband's an elder, and I just wanted to be closer to him and closer to Jesus. I didn't really have any needs that I was aware of. But as I came to this place, I'm kind of head of the Sunday school department right now in our church, and I obviously need a lot of help. And so I went over to the Sunday school department, and I went in the little room over there, and the sweetest girl came up and said, "Hello," like she knew me forever. And I almost felt like saying, "You don't know me," you know, but because she was so sweet. She just treated me like I was her very best friend, and I felt so loved. She was just so sweet to me. It was almost more than I can bear. I grew up in a home that wasn't real loving toward me, and I've had a real hard time with love. It's been kind of a foreign thing to me. I have been able to a certain extent to give it out, but receiving it has been kind of foreign to me, and it was so wonderful. I thought, I'm just going to receive this. I'm just going to soak it in like a sponge, you know, and she just was so sweet to me and was so helpful, and then Ron was there, and he was just so sweet to me, and I know what I was going to say. Then we're staying at friend Jenny Rapp's house, and they're just so precious, you know, and that night before the retreat, I was sleeping. I was just about asleep. I was just kind of dozing off, and Fred said, "I love you, Valerie," and it was like, I just couldn't believe it. You know, I was just kind of on the verge, but it felt like something wonderful just came and hit me, and just just like a bomb almost, in a sense. There's such a power in the love of God. It just did something, and I just laid there, and I just thought, I am just going to soak this up. This feels so good. I'm sure Fred had no idea. I'm sure he didn't, but I love him so, Fred and Jenny and so many here. I tell you, the love of God. And then even when I was at the retreat, I was just kind of standing there on the edge, just loving what was going on, seeing the freedom of the Lord. And another brother in this body just walked up to me, just grabbed my hand, and he said, "I love you." And it was like, now wait, you hardly know me. You know, I just almost threw up that barrier, like, you just don't know me. I mean, if you knew me, you would never say, but instead I thought, no, just soak it in, you know, and it touched my heart so much. You just have no idea when you tell someone you love them, you just have no idea that God is doing something in their heart. A lot of times I've told people that I love them, but I've never been on the receiving end of what it does, you know, when you say that to someone. Anyway, when I got to the retreat, a couple months ago, several months ago, at a women's prayer meeting one time, I was just worshiping the Lord, and I had a visualization or vision of something. I could see myself just dancing before the Lord in freedom, just such a freedom, and I didn't want to open my eyes. I didn't want to quit praying. I thought, I just want to stay here forever. This is so wonderful. And it was just, I could feel myself doing all those things, but I knew I was just laying there on the floor. But in my spirit, I sensed that I was just pleasing Jesus, and it was so wonderful. Anyway, then after that, I had felt a little bit of freedom in dancing just before I came to the retreat, but I thought it was freedom, but it was kind of sad compared to what freedom was. But I'll tell you, when the Lord set me free at this retreat, my legs are so sore, but my spirit is so free. And my husband kept saying, "You've got to be careful. Your legs are just going to give up." And I just couldn't explain. I said, I just can't quit. I just love Jesus so much. But as I began to just yield myself to Jesus, I just sensed just a spirit of love upon me, and I felt like every cell in my body was just loving Jesus, that I could just be so free to just love Him, and I knew that I was just loving Him and loving Him and loving Him with such a freedom, just an expression of every single thing inside of me loving Him. And I felt inadequate. It's like, Lord, if I had more that I could do, I would do it. I mean, if I could do backflips or leap up to the ceiling or something that I could do more to love You. It was my heart, just please Him, please Him, please Him, and give my love to Him. And it seemed like I just could sense that it pleased the Lord. And it seemed like after that, the Lord kind of spoke to my heart like, now I'm going to give my love back to You. You know, and I thought, great. I'm waiting for the revelation right now. Hit me, Lord. Just any feeling, you know, I'll just fall down here under the love of God, you know. But it was kind of like, I don't feel anything. What's going on? You know, I'm waiting, Lord, you know. And time when I felt like I was at a plateau, like, well, when's it going to hit me? I know he's going to. I just knew that he spoke to my heart that way. But, you know, he did something so much better than that. He set my husband free. He set my husband free to love me with the love of Jesus. And it was so much more wonderful than any feeling that would have ever come down straight, you know, down like a thunderbolt. Instead, it's like, I know it's a permanent thing now. Every single day, I'm going to be enveloped in the love of Jesus. And it is so wonderful. You know, if the Lord could have given me any gift at all of love, it would have been a sweet marriage, you know. And it's not like our marriage was real bad, but we just had a hard time loving each other and coming out of a lot of worldly things. And we've known each other just forever since we were kids. And I think there was familiarity there and everything. But, you know, Jesus loves me so much. He just wanted to give me the one thing that would have meant more to me than anything else. And that was the ability for my husband and I to be like that type of Jesus and his church, you know. And I can see such a change already. I just feel so loved. It's just so unbelievable. I've never felt this way before. And I know he's never felt this way before. I want to say, I cannot express from my heart the thankfulness that I have for a church that teaches us what marriage is supposed to be. You know, I had no idea. I had no idea that marriage could be this good. I thought it was just kind of a boring thing, and you got old, and then, you know, your hair turned gray, and that was it, you know. And, you know, that is really sad. That was about my vision for our marriage. I could not have any conception of, and then they start talking about limerence, and I'm going, you're kidding, that too? I mean, that's just too marvelous, you know. And I am so excited because I know that every day there's so much more than gray hair coming, you know. It's just the love of God is going to be in my life, and I am so
I'm good. At the end.
Oh, hallelujah. I am so thankful for Jesus. I want to share one more thing. You know, the love. Sorry, Pastor. I should have chosen my words more carefully, maybe. But his example has been such a blessing. I know that their example of their love for each other has really shown me what I can look forward to, and I'm excited. I just went, stepped out in the hall, and I was coming out of the ladies' room, and I'm not used to so many people. Our church is a little smaller than this, and wham, right into a girl I ran, just about ran her over, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry, and she just said, well, since you ran into me, here, let me give you a hug. And it was so wonderful. I said, fine, I'll hug you, you know. I mean, I tell you what, this is very unusual. You don't see that just anywhere, and I just love the Lord. I love the Lord in every one of you, and I am so excited that God is doing such a unique restoring work. And I'll tell you, anybody that's here that you think that your marriage is just going to be gray hair, it's going to be wonderful. Just take heart. God is going to do marvelous things in his people. Hallelujah.
Amen, Jenny. see, how can we go to almost a stranger. People come from another church. We don't really know them, don't know their names, maybe never met them before. How can you go up to them and say, I love you, and mean it? We do. Because you've got love angels dispensed from the Father, bringing the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. And God loves them. And God has put that love in us for them because we're open to it now. And since we're open to it, when God is loving through us, we feel it. And then so we feel like we love. Just like when anger, demons of anger, manifest anger through you, then you feel it and you feel anger. You always feel what the Spirit is moving through you. And the Lord doesn't do everything firsthand. Some things he sends spirits to dispense. When Jesus was in agony, the Holy Spirit didn't come down and minister to him. He sent an angel to minister to him. And so, just like there's hate angels, hate demons out here, but there's love spirits. And everybody feels love because we've opened up to the good spirits instead of the evil spirits. And so, you can, because they are giving God love. And that is so common to me. I feel that all the time. They don't even know him. I feel like, and I can sincerely say, and I hate phoniness. I have always hated this phoniness. Like I told you before, I don't like these signs that say, "We are glad you are here." I say, "You don't even know I'm here." What do you mean I'm glad I'm here? I say, "Didn't know I was going to come." But I can go up and say, "I love you," and I feel it, and I mean it, and I feel it. Because it's God loving through it. And it's wonderful. And that's what God is going to do. By this shall all men know that you are my followers, disciples, that you have love one for another. One last thing I need to say is, up at the retreat, people, you know, leave things a bit. It's all been collected, and they're in the lost and found. And right back outside that exit door, on the corner, is the lost and found. And especially you that are from out of town, you know, well, I don't know what happened to my watch. I don't know what happened to this. You know, your left shoe or something. It's in the lost and found. And don't think, oh, no, it's not there. It is. Believe me, it is. A lot of it is right there. Now, what you lost is there. So don't decide it's not there. Go in the lost and found and check, and you'll find it. For the last several retreats, things have been coming. We're going to open a store pretty soon if you don't come and get it.
You know, this love that God gives will reach out to the sinner and the lost, too, and you can love the unlovely. The other day, we were in a restaurant, and the most miserable girl, a colored girl, but she had real pretty features. I have never seen a human being more miserable than that girl. And you could tell that she was an addicted prostitute, and her manager, or whatever they call him, was there with her, and he had brought her in there to try to get her a little bit of coffee. She couldn't even look up her face. I have never seen misery personified on anybody like that girl. The love of God reached out and both done, and I, beautiful, beautiful, and I took out a little card and I wrote her a little love note on it. And as we got ready to leave, I went over to her table and I put this down and I just told her, "Jesus loves you and there's a better life than this." And the man, he said, "Would you mind cutting up her pork chop?" I don't know whether he knew who I was or whether I was a waitress. And so she had her fork in her hand, so I reached over and took his fork. And so it gave me perfect opportunity as I was cutting up her pork chop there, I could share with her the love of Jesus. She didn't have to live a life like that, that there was another plan. She could be full of peace and joy and happiness, and her hand began to tremble and tremble and tremble like this as I began to tell her about the love of Jesus. And I was able to talk right into her ear so that whoever he was next across the table from her couldn't interfere with it. And I was able to leave her that card and told her I'd be praying for her, that God had a plan for her life. I tell you, the love of Jesus goes out beyond just us. Let the love of Jesus carry it to work with you. Carry it to your neighbor. Carry it to that person that looks absolutely hopeless. You know, we have found out that a lot of those out there on the street, that they look so terrible that you just want to run from them. They clean up really well. You know, the Lord can purify all of that. I was so afraid of Earl Thurner when I saw him stand at the back of our church the first time because of the way he looked. But, oh, look at the sweet man now. Oh, Jesus is able. So let's carry this love out beyond these walls and one another.
Hallelujah. I just have such a reverence in my heart for the thing that God is doing in our eldership. I'm so jealous for the move of God in this church, in you, in them. I feel so protective of them. And as Don was sharing at the very beginning about how he felt a little bit nervous this evening, I felt to share with you an experience that I had there at the retreat. Don had been laying down and being ministered to by the song about the Son of Man.
And then as he got up and we were standing around about him and he began just to move like this a little bit, and we began to sing a different song. And as that song was going forth, I began to experience in the spirit what was taking place in the hearts of everyone that was there. And it was as if the Lord were taking every one of the eldership and every one of the satellite pastors and their eldership and placing them as pillars around about Don to support him. And I felt like all the wives there were in support, and all of us intercessors were there in support. And as we all took our positions in support then, I felt the Lord beginning to minister to Don just relaxation. Just relaxation. Just a resting place. Just a comfortableness. And it was like as the Lord began to usher in then that comfortableness, it was like that wasn't enough by the Spirit of the Lord. And I began to proclaim over and over and over, Jesus, make him perfectly at home, Jesus. Lord, make him perfectly at home, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you're not going to be satisfied till he's perfectly at home. He needs to be perfectly at home, Jesus, beyond rest, beyond relaxation, beyond comfortableness, perfectly at home in your spirit, Jesus. You see, that man needs to have the Spirit of the Lord ministered to him in absolute rest that he's able to fill up full with what Jesus has for him. And if he's inhibited because of this or hindered because of that, he's not going to be able to receive the fullness of what it is that God has for him. And it's the same for our elders. You see, if you're holding any type of reservation for what it is that Jesus is doing in them, if you're not taking your position around about those pillars, you see, they're not going to be able to receive the fullness of what it is that Jesus has for them. And that's why this was so precious. That's why this retreat was so precious. You see, each one was in their position. It was so relaxed. Oh, it was so wonderful. Jesus was able to manifest himself to each one exactly like he needed to manifest himself to them. And they were able to receive Jesus just exactly like they needed to receive Jesus. And you see, God wants to do that here. And I am so jealous, so jealous. So jealous for this thing that the Lord has done in our eldership. And I'm committing myself. I'm absolutely committing myself that I will never taint anything that the Lord would bring. That I would never allow anything to enter my mind, leave alone my heart, that would ever hinder the Lord from manifesting himself in his fullness to these people that I love so dearly. You see, it's as if at the beginning when I went up to the retreat, the Lord gave me experience about dance. And I'd had in my mind this concept that these slow, beautiful, graceful dances were holy. And they were a showing forth of the holiness to the Lord. And then these real life, wonderful, free dances were dances of liberty and dances of freedom and rejoicing that could not be held back anymore. And as I was on my way up, the Lord came down upon me and he straightened that concept up. And he told me that those dances that were free and those dances that were so full of joy and liberty were holy. Because you see, they've adorned their hearts in purity. And between them and the Lord, there is nothing but trust and confidence. And when your heart is clothed in purity, and in your hand you only hold trust and confidence to Jesus, there can abide nothing else but holiness. And it was this of this I was experiencing the Lord looking down upon his people and upon that eldership. And I hadn't heard what the Lord was doing up there, but I envisioned that on the way up. And the Lord said, I am standing back, and I am beholding my holiness. I am beholding my holiness. And I want that picture to be in your mind. You are beholding his holiness. You are beholding his delight to minister to them, to express himself to them, and them to him. And this is such a precious thing. I reverence it so highly. I am so jealous for it. I commit myself, as you do, I know, to protect them in this thing, to stand around about those pillars, to say to Jesus continually, "That's right, Lord. You just usher your presence in. That's right, Jesus. We just receive from you, Lord, angels, ministering angels to them, Jesus. Lord, flow freely, Jesus. Abundant liberty, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want that man touched. We want Barbara touched. Oh, we want her heart full. We don't want to rob her because they're afraid it's going to hurt us. We want them to be satisfied in Jesus in ways that they have never tasted of. And oh, I was so delighted to experience that in a measure up there, to be able to watch each one of those, being able to just enter in to what it was that Jesus had for them. Oh, and I want you just to enter in with your whole heart for what it is that Jesus has for them. Oh, that you might be able to also receive what it is that the Lord would have for you, because He will lead them before you.
Go ahead, Tina. Can you believe the service has gone over 3 hours? When you take church government and seminary, they tell you never let a testimony service go over 20 minutes because the people can't take more than that. You see, when the Spirit of the Lord moves, it's so delightful. It's building something. And you know, God is going to do this work in everyone. And then more besides. Would you stand during the song? And then the service is dismissed. We don't want anybody with sore legs dancing. It's rather late, matter of fact. It's getting near 11. We just...